The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You are joining We the People Radio here on a sunny Sunday morning when it was finally cold out this morning. I got to wear a coat, walk my dog. Yeah. So can't beat that. I'm joined here with Dr. Maria Salas.
Good morning.
Who does a program called Positively Healthy, I just learned. I'm like, don't you do a program on this station?
Thank you. Yes, I do, Missy.
I obviously listen to the radio
Saturday
all day
mornings,
long.
10 to 11. It's a show of chiropractors. We all share a Saturday. I normally take the first and third Saturday, but...
But you didn't yesterday.
No. Oh. Hey, I can't hear you, Bob.
I know.
Was that better?
Oh, yeah, that's better. Yeah. Dr. Todd Royce and I switched because I'm going to do my first remote show next Saturday.
Really? Where are you going to be?
At North State Fittest.
You should have just said somewhere
it's
else.
It's an event. It's a competition here in Reading at North State CrossFit.
Really?
So it's a CrossFit competition. Yeah.
What does that mean?
What's CrossFit, in other words?
CrossFit is a sport.
Competition. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what you're talking about.
CrossFit
no
is
saying.
A sport. You can go ahead and look it up at CrossFit.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'll get right on it.
Yeah. Like, that's so important. But, hey, if we're fit and healthy, then... What
then
won't we need?
Yeah,
as
it won't
much.
Matter how much we're paying for insurance from the government, right? Is that what we're talking about today, boys and girls?
Seems like a good time to discuss health care.
Yeah. It seems to be all that and then some.
Yeah, a little extra up in there.
Yeah. You guys been enjoying the debate this week?
The shutdown of the government?
Yeah, but it's nothing's really shut down. I mean, not that much stuff is really shut down. I like the way Health and Human Services, though, jammed up Head Start so they could feel the shutdown. They weren't really shut down because of that. They were shut down. They're funded by a grant. So, HHS just got, tangled in their own rope and couldn't fund them, so all the kids had to stay home. So it's kind of like the World War II Memorial.
Yeah, that's frustrating. So parents then couldn't go to work to make money to pay for food and rent.
But it didn't have anything to do with the government shutdown. It just had to do with the fact that their grant got delayed, which
could have happened
any old time.
Sure.
It shouldn't have been impacted. But
coincidentally, it
just
did.
So happened that it happened this week. Isn't that great? And then the World War II Memorial, where they run out there and they
nine-year-old men in the wheelchairs.
Yeah, put up barricades around something that's like an open-air... deal. I haven't verified, but I heard that they were actually putting up permanent fencing.
What?
Yeah.
So all those costs.
Now, all of that's coming from Office of Management and Budget, which is the executive branch. That's all Obama.
Of course.
But this didn't happen during the Clinton era shutdown back in 95. All of that, all the parks and the memorials and stuff stayed open.
Sure, but, we want to, it's like sequester. When the sequester happened and actually no one actually got cut, it was a 5% cut to the future of money they hadn't gotten or spent
yet. There wasn't enough show of hurt and pain.
So we had to, they jammed up TSA. They made the TSA lines really long.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's like, what are we, five? I guess we are. We're five. That's how we do it.
National Sarcasm Society is right in front of me. Thank you, Elizabeth Woodward.
I know, I have my special mug. you're drinking out of the National Sarcasm Society mug. How can you go wrong? You know what I mean? You're gonna smart off. There's gonna be smarting off.
Yeah.
You two are drinking out of the same mug this morning.
Exactly.
Watch out.
Uh-oh.
And when I run out of that, I have my water bottle with my skull and crossbones, liberty or death. I was like, well, that's a subtle message. Because I'm a subtle person.
Ooh, is that a phone?
It is.
What show is this?
It's probably Dr. Jill.
What show are we? What is this?
We are called We the People.
Oh, got it. And you are?
We don't tell them all that. That's Elizabeth's job. Elizabeth's gone today. We don't give him any of that. Actually... We do have to give them the webpage because the chat starts there. That's where people join us on chat. So wethepeopleradio.us, and Robert Exter has a great page up for us. You can see Dr. Jill Vecchio, got a great picture of her. A lot of times we get these pictures and it's like, oh my, looks like they just rolled out of bed. I'm like, oh hey, her picture's actually really good.
Well, I mean, you know, radio, like me, that's kind of what happened this morning.
Yeah, but see, we're good with that because we don't need our picture on the webpage. She is a fellowship-trained, board-certified radiologist, so she knows everything about all the stuff I don't know anything about.
Great.
Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. And how? Okay, my question for her later is, like, time. How did she, take time off to learn all this, or, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Read the whole healthcare bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
She's currently practicing in the Denver metro area in Colorado. She has read the complete healthcare law and spent 3.5 years giving over 120 talks on healthcare in Colorado, Washington, D.C., Wyoming, Illinois, and California. She actively works with state and federal legislators on the healthcare policy and related issues. And she's developed and recorded a 7-segment educational YouTube video series. Yes, it's on the website, huh? So wethepeopleradio.us, you can find it all on there. She also has a radio program called Heart of the Matter. And that link is up there for us. And Bob's over there struggling with something.
Bob Martin,
and
you're on We the People.
I think there's a lot going on over there on the phone.
Yeah, it's great. I like it. It's more than what goes on during my show. It's very quiet on the phone line sometimes.
You know what? We're kind of quiet on the phone lines, too, because people kind of get up on Sunday morning, have a little coffee, and listen. What's going on over there, Bob?
We have two actual listeners on the phone this morning.
Live listeners.
Who must have been drinking out of your cup. Charles is on line one. Kay is on line two.
Nice.
And that, which means I need to free one of them up to call the good doctor. Do you want me to put Charles on now?
We're getting people heated up pretty early. Let's get them on. Let's get them on to blow off some steam.
Get them on because if they wait till 2 minutes before the hour, we're not taking your call. That's what we always tell them. All right. Charles?
Yes. The saga continues with the behind closed door Brown Act violation that we call the Board of Building Appeals appointment process.
Oh, Shasta County Board of Building Appeals, the committee that didn't exist for, 30 years, but had people on it? And I don't know. I'm a little weak on the details.
Well, it didn't meet for 22 years, I mean, or for 20-some-odd years. But I mean, a person could be born and have their first drink legally and never see anything that even remotely resembles a Board of Building Appeals, because that's how long it would have been since the previous time they met.
Okay. So
they've got two people. They've got two people nominated, one for each of the two vacancies. There have been those of us who've been clamoring for the Board of Supervisors to do everything in open session, the interviews, the votes, et cetera, et cetera. They sort of very politely ignored every one of us.
Well,
and by this action, they are in effect extending us the middle finger of friendship.
Okay.
In response to our calls for doing everything out in the open and on record.
All right. So when do they meet next, and how can people weigh in?
Well, they meet Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., same as usual. The relevant agenda item is R4, and it's very interesting that we have a board of supervisors that wants to decide this behind closed doors. The same board that includes in its membership one member who has a very unique understanding of the behavior and biology of bees.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Because last week they had a bee ordinance.
That's right. I remember the bee ordinance. I got your email about the bee ordinance, as a matter of fact.
And so you got, and so in there, there's also a transcript of a minute and a half worth of the board meeting video posted to the 24-Hour Patriots website.
Nice. 24hourpatriots.com. Look for the drone bee link. Okay, Charles, I have to cycle out here so that we can take a commercial break
here. That one board member actually claimed that drone bees pollinate. It's a good thing nobody was drinking fluids, because otherwise a bunch of people in the forward rows would have gotten suddenly wet in the back of the neck. And this is the same ignorance that now wants to decide things behind closed doors.
Exactly. Well, and
aren't we so lucky to have them?
We are. So Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, Shasta County Board of Supervisors meets. So you can weigh in on all that and more. And Charles, it's a good thing you're watching them. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Charles.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM. Be right back.
I'm still processing the bee joke.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do?
Good one. We're going to have all doctor music today.
Yeah,
we have all doctor music? Is that the...
Well, health-related, yes.
Health-related.
Burning.
I like it. All right, so you're joining Dr. Maria Salas, Aaron Ryan, Bob Martin. We're hanging out here at We the People. Join us on the chat room, actually, wethepeopleradio.us. Hit the listen button. And do we have... Okay, what are we doing, Bob? What's happening on the phone?
I had to get Kay to hang up so I could get the doctor on, but I think that's Kay calling back. So we'll try to accommodate her as soon as possible.
Okay, so we'll jump on with Dr. Jill Vecchio. Jill, while you were trapped on... wherever you are trapped in, you can't call in because our phone lines were busy, we read your bio.
Oh.
So what we want to, our first really just burning question is, when did you find time to read the whole healthcare bill?
You know, thank you so much for having me on, by the way, and it's nice to finally meet you by voice.
Absolutely. We get emails a lot through Debbie, but...
Yes.
Maria, I said we never talked.
Right. Exactly. So, when they started talking about the health care, I had never been politically active. Barely paying attention to anything. And then when they started talking about the health care thing, I'm like, hold on. This sounds a lot like Hillary care that they tried to do in the 90s. How close are they going to come to this? And, you know, we had this kind of yo-yo thing. And I finally, having a discussion with a colleague of mine, he said, well, you know, blah, 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 this thing is going to be great and yada, yada. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, do you have any idea? All I knew is what they'd been saying. And I'd been to Washington and stuff, but all I knew is what people were saying about it. And it was very confusing. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to read it so that I know that if I say something, I'm saying the correct thing, that it's truthful. And so the more I read it, the more I'm reading it and saying to my husband, oh, my God, you have no idea what's in here. I'm not hearing about any of this stuff. There is so much stuff in here. I said, people need to know what is in this law. So just by reading it, I was so, you know, just shocked and amazed at the enormity of this government takeover of not just health care, of everything, that I decided to start doing talks on it, and it just kind of blossomed from there because, you know, people didn't really know what was in it. And once they learned, wow, I tell you what, I was, you know, I did 100 talks in a year. No, probably 100 talks in a year and a half.
And so what about all these folks now? I mean, you know, I guess we keep finding out more bad things, the cost, the privacy issues, all that stuff. Now, after all this time, I mean, I know it's kind of hard to isolate, but after all this time of having read it, having talked to people, what do you see as bubbling up to the surface as the big, you know, kind of the smoking gun?
A complete loss of freedom. That's easy. A complete loss of freedom. We're not going to have it. The doctor-patient relationship is changing as we speak into the doctor-patient government bureaucrat relationship. Now, already in the first argument, some people are going to say as well, insurance companies already limit your care, and they already ration care. Yes, they do, but it's better to have it at a lower level than to have it at the federal government level. You know, we're not going to have any kind of a voice at the federal government level, whereas at least with an insurance company, your employer can change carriers, and you have some way to tell them that you're unhappy with their service. Once you get to the federal government level, your voice will never be heard. The next thing is, like you said, privacy issues. So not only are we going to be everything, and last time I went to my oncologist, because I've had cancer, last time I went to my oncologist, who is a good personal friend of mine as well, we usually sit in his room and we talk about the kids and, oh, let's get together for dinner and blah, blah, blah. Well, this time he walks in the room and behind him walks in a person I've never seen before. She sits down with a laptop computer and starts typing everything I'm saying.
Ew.
So.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like, okay, you know what? That is it. This, wow, I am not talking to this woman. I want to be able to have a conversation, a private conversation with my physician.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever I say between, you know, he and I is confidential. It doesn't get written down. It doesn't get typed into a laptop computer and sent into the Ethernet or whatever when the government wants to know what my medical history is. Wow, it's none of their business. And they're doing it right now, folks. There's also, they have, you know, they say, oh, this will be, we're going to de-identify this information. Well, they've been able to re-identify this information so that 1 out of 10 times they could pinpoint it to the patient.
Yeah, Maria's here shaking her head going, no way, no way.
No way.
I mean, this is, it's unbelievable. And then now with the exchanges, they're paying, the government is paying navigators to sign people up, to enroll people in the state exchanges. So these people are being paid, but they're not going through a background check. So in order to sign up for the exchange, you have to give a Social Security number, your family income, your personal income, a whole bunch of very personal information, and these navigators have no background check. Now, if you want to sell insurance as an insurance agent or broker through the healthcare exchange, then you have to go through an extensive background check, but not the navigators. So they're already having problems with releasing, you know, like accidental release of massive amounts of very confidential information, addresses and Social Security numbers of something like in Minnesota, 2,500 addresses and Social Security numbers of insurance agents were released, you know, like emailed out to a bunch of people. Wow.
Wow, that's awesome. And see, if you did that as a private company.
Pardon?
If you did that as a private company, you blow up.
Yeah, exactly.
But as the government. And you know, we get down to the same stuff that we see all over the place. I mean, something that I've been really involved in lately with the Veterans Administration. They can break all sorts of rules.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing really happens. Oh, and for those of you that have been following the Veterans Administration saga, don't miss the article that was posted last week out there in the big world. If you just did a Google search for the words VA and lunacy... two things you wouldn't want connected, VA and lunacy. Yeah. You'll get the article, because some of the criteria for how they're ascribing benefits. I look at that system, like for instance, if you are a service member and you are assaulted by another service member, sexually assaulted, you're now currently required to have a police report and a witness and all this other. And I'm like, really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that ever happen? Because I don't think so. So a judge actually said, what are you guys, lunatics? Who gauges on this? But there's a government program where they're going to have to shell out money. So in order not to shell out money, they hide the evidence of anything that happened, even if it's a legitimate, you know, accident or a combat-related issue. But all these records go missing, so they don't have to pay out.
So was your point that this sounds like
it's
the template?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you put a big bureaucracy on there, and what's happening in that system is they're incentivized not to pay benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the sad thing is with the VA, because I did a lot of, you know, I did my medical school and residency in radiology here in Denver, and we have a big VA hospital here. And this is actually one of the, has a great reputation as a VA hospital, at least it did then. So I worked in the VA system for probably 8 or 9 years. And you know, as good as the physicians were and all that stuff, you know, in the first place, it's run by federal employees who can't be fired.
Mm-hmm.
The bureaucracy, the level of bureaucracy, and this was long before, this was 20 years ago, this was long before any health care law came about. And what our veterans, people who put their lives on the line for our country and our freedom, have to go through to get care is absolutely abominable. They may, like, and that, because I was dealing with a lot of the PTSD, Vietnam vets, and the World War II veterans, stuff like that. And the Vietnam vets, the whole Agent Orange thing, the government would deny. They would not pay benefits for, they have this thing called service connection, but they would not service connect these people so that their care would be paid for based on any Agent Orange claim. And I think it took probably another 5 years or something before they finally fessed up that Agent Orange was an issue.
And they still
don't.
And they
decided to pay. So these veterans
went
for years without, you know, in this limbo land of trying to get care and running around this red tape. What a nightmare. What a horrible thing to do for people who have put their lives on the line for our country.
So what do you see? Do you see parallels between that system and what we're looking to usher in?
I wrote a series of commentaries for a radio station out here, and one of them was the VA system. We know what government health care is going to be. It's the VA system. We've had it for years. Look at the VA system, and most people don't have any experience with it. And surprisingly, our veterans are just such great people that they just kind of go along with it. By the time they're through the military for a while, they understand the military red tape and bureaucracy. The rest of us don't have to deal with that on a daily basis like they do, so it's shocking to us when we see it. But it's kind of like, okay, the VA system is government health care. Let's see how they cover, how they're handling the VA. And there was actually a call in on another radio show of a physician that works at a VA, and he said, oh my gosh, we just got this notification that they're now going to release a bunch of physicians from the VA and replace them with nurse practitioners.
Yep.
So that there will be very, very few physicians actually at the VA hospital. All the decisions are going to be made by physicians' assistants and nurse practitioners.
Well, you're looking at a big switch, too, with a lot of your psychiatrists. Your actual PhD psychiatrists are being replaced by counselors.
Oh, my God. And that's frightening because, you know what, when you talk about PTSD and some of the very severe mental breaks that can happen under stress of combat, you know, bipolar, schizophrenic, I mean, it's incredible. You have to have somebody who's really experienced with that as well as the medications you have to administer and monitoring those things. And, I mean, some of the mass killings we've got have nothing to do with guns. They have to do with lack of control of mental illness.
Yeah.
And people who are caring for almost every single person who's been a mass murderer has been under the care of somebody for some psychiatric thing, and they just dropped the ball.
Yeah, and that's the thing with naturopaths and PAs and counselors.
Yeah,
they wouldn't
instead of psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have gotten the pharmacology that's needed for that level of support.
Right,
all.
Or you make the wrong diagnosis. I mean, wow. I mean, I think bipolar is so overdiagnosed, and there are so many other things that are underdiagnosed.
Sure.
And it's just, wow. I mean, we changed when I did psych at the VA, that's where I worked with a bunch of the Vietnam vets. And it was incredible. We actually changed the diagnosis many times. They'd been seen by some psychologist or something, and they came in with one diagnosis, and after interviewing them and observing them, you know, in-house, in the hospital unit for a while, we're like, okay, wait a second, that's not the right diagnosis. They're on the wrong medication.
Hmm.
You know, so it makes a big, big difference.
Well, and for those people that are out there saying, well, you know, my husband or my sister or brother or wife or my, you know, people have had good experiences with VA. It's not that, not necessarily that the healthcare side of it is a total disaster. It's, I guess what I'm looking at more than anything is how they adjudicate benefits. And so how they decide how what gets they, covered, because you can't just go in.
You've Who gets gotta, what service connection?
Yep, you've got to get permission on all this stuff. And I look at how many of those records have gone missing. I mean, you could seriously, you could stretch these people around the globe with records that have gone missing. Years and years and years and years to do something really simple. Like, you know, I talk to people all the time. One guy, he has three kids. He had one child on his record, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like, hey, I have three kids. You know, can we please add the other two kids? So after a year and a half, they add the other two kids. They drop the first kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Now he's got
yeah.
two. He's missing the other one. It's like, I got to tell you, I've talked to at least a handful of people with the exact same scenario. So I just keep translating this into, you know, when all of a sudden we have something more than just a regular office visit that we need. You know, all of a sudden you need something that's complicated care, and you've got to roll out benefits. And for those of us in rural areas, that's going to change too, because I've already heard from some of the rural doctors that they're not allowed to refer from physician to physician if they're a GP. And a lot of them do double duty. You know, one removes moles, so he's like the quasi-dermatologist, and the other guy is the – and they're not allowed to do that. They've got to go to a specialist. Well, that's hours away.
Oh, geez, what a mess.
So there's just some stuff like that. Anyway, we will, we've got Jill as our hostage all morning here. So for those, of you that are feeling a little bit stressed, you might switch to decaf because we're going to roll this till 10 o'clock. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without trying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of love.
Nice.
With all of this, we're still laughing and smiling and still having a beautiful Sunday morning here in the North State. That's awesome.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We take really serious topics that make people freak out, and then we try to make them fun.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you've got to raise the bar, you know? You can't just
We're not like the other shows.
No, can't just be constant scariness. You have to have a little break every 15 minutes. We have a little injection of music. No pun intended. So you're listening. So you're listening to We the People Radio. Aaron Ryan, Maria Salas, and Bob Martin are hanging out today. Elizabeth's, I don't know where she is. She's gone. She said she was going to go somewhere, and I totally forgot where it is. So is this the part where we say she's on assignment?
Elizabeth is on assignment.
Elizabeth is on assignment. Okay, we don't know where she is. We've lost track of her. So we have Dr. Jill Vecchio with us, who has read the entire. And do we have to call it the Affordable Care Act? Because it's so...
Please, no. I mean, it's the unaffordable... You call it the Unaffordable Care Act.
Unaffordable
it's
just,
okay,
Care
so
Act.
Just some statistics, some local, brand new, like last week statistics. Let's talk about Butte County in California. Butte County families have 161 plan options from five different providers right now. This is from an aggregate of different insurance agencies. Under Obamacare, Butte County families will now not have 161 plans. They will now have two.
To choose from.
Two, yep. And instead of five different providers, they will have two. Sorry. Instead of 161 plan options, guess how many?
Four. We were close,
You aimed high.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go from 161 plan choices down to four.
Wow.
Let's see, if you're a 25-year-old, if you're a 25-year-old man, your cost goes up $110 a month. If you're 45, it goes up $177 a month. If you're 60 years old, guess how much it goes up?
Well, actually, 60 over, usually this might not go up, they shouldn't go up as much.
Plus $342 per month.
Really?
Yes, isn't that?
Because usually it's the younger people. are nationwide, it's the younger people that are having to pay a whole lot more, and some of the elderly, more elderly, I should say, I'm getting close to 60.
yeah, that elderly gets farther away all the
but
time.
But then they're
it?
Not getting the yeah. services that they need as well.
Of course.
No, they get the same thing. They're just tightening it up. They call it community rating. So instead of having young people pay a premium that reflects their true risk of having medical problems and therefore expenditures, so instead of having somebody that reflects their risk, they are, again, kind of redistributing premium cost from the elderly who need more care to the younger. So the younger are having to pay more to offset premium costs for the elderly.
Yeah, Dr.
So that's that community rating. It's only the lowest cost premium can only be three times less than the highest cost premium.
Yeah, Dr. Jill, I guess what I was talking about was if you're 75 or, let's say, 85 years old and you needed a certain surgery, but no, you can't get it because you're that old and, you know, death penalty.
But that's Medicare. That's not the private insurance.
Well, these guys...
Technically. I mean, you know, with the supplementals and all that stuff.
Sure, because this was... the plan comparison was an Anthem Blue Cross Clear Protection Plan. Has similar coverage to the Obamacare Bronze Plan.
Okay.
So this was under Obamacare, a non-smoker in good health, moving from the Blue Cross to the Bronze Plan on Obamacare. 25-year-old goes up $110, 45-year-old goes up $177, and a 60-year-old goes up $342. Now, I mean, honestly, how's that going to work out across the board for people, you know?
They're not going to get insurance. I've already talked. I can't tell you how many people, how many stories I've heard of people who are just not getting insurance. Employers who are going to cover their employees directly, or at least offer it to them, but not cover their dependents. So now we're actually talking about a new problem. We're talking about spouses and dependents, kids, of employees who had been covered by their employer, but because the premium costs are going to be so high, now the employers are going to not cover the spouse or dependents because that's not required under Obamacare.
Yeah. UPS, Trader Joe's.
Yeah, oops, they forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, I had a little
wonderful thing that
had another unintended consequence.
Exactly.
Yeah,
or not.
A happy list of
or maybe it was not an unintended consequence. You know what I mean? I think a lot of these things were purely intended. So if you think about it, it plays right into their notion, the overall objective of this health care law was to have universal health care, as President Obama has said many times, we now have universal health care, but to get as many people on these state exchanges and as many people in need of health care and health insurance as possible so that the federal government can ride in on their white horse and say, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, we'll save you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can be fired up about it.
Exactly. So now there are a bunch of dependents that are going to be left out in the cold, and they're going to have to presumably go to the health care exchange and try and get coverage. And then they're going to see that their premium costs are so high, or they're going to get this premium subsidy. So all it's going to do is just, you know, wow, whoever is left paying the taxes and having to pay the bills for this stuff is absolutely going to be killed.
Sure. And then you look at it, there are a ton of people. I talked to somebody the other day who was all up in arms, you know, the government. How dare, you know, these guys hold out over the health care law? It's the law. That's all they hear on TV is.
Oh, God.
It's the law. They need to get over it. Hey, guess what? What they need to get over is there are 1,372 Obamacare waivers covering 3.1 million Americans who get exemptions. Let's see, that would include Jack in the Box, McDonald's, Waffle House, Universal Orlando, United Agricultural Beef Trust,
Hollywood,
United Federation of Teachers, 24-Hour Fitness,
Unions.
Captain Elliot's Party Boats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had no idea that was such a big enterprise. I had no clue. The Union Active Ballot Club, Service Employees Benefit Fund, Philips Ace Hardware, SF Honda, Teamsters, and Carpenters.
Yep, a lot of unions. I think it was something like, what did they say? Over half of the people affected by the waivers were unions. And you still have Jimmy Hoffa Jr. writing the letter on behalf of the Teamsters saying that Obamacare is still going to kill the unions.
Yeah.
Dude, they got a waiver from, I think, the annual limits. There are six different kinds of waivers in Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as a waiver from the entire law. That doesn't exist. you have some states that got waivers, only like seven states got waivers from the medical loss ratio, Nevada, Harry Reid state being one of them that got a waiver, you know, first in line, right?
Yeah.
Something like 21 states applied for that waiver, but only seven states got it. So, President, and I read some of the letters from people who got it and some of the ones that didn't get it, and the letters are almost identical.
Nice. And so,
so how did they make a decision? Wow. You
know, the criteria was?
Hence the Obama reach shut down.
And Secretary Sebelius got to decide, in and of her little lonesome, who got it and who didn't.
Yeah. That's the creepy part. She would be the
person in the country next to President Obama, pretty much.
Yeah, actually, at this point, she probably trumps him. Actually, maybe she could. She's not that stalwart. I was going to say.
Yeah.
Brings up all sorts of great visuals. Hey, so do we need to fit in one more break? Or did we actually take it at the beginning of the hour?
No,
we were lollygagging.
We still have one more break.
Okay. Well, hurry up and do it. before we go off on another thing, because see, that's the thing, like, you get going on this stuff and it's like, oh, we gotta stop again.
Because I want to know about dentistry, chiropractic, eyes.
Oh no, that, you know, some of that I'm not going to know much about, but I can tell you a good story about government-run healthcare when we get back.
Okay, thank you.
Nice,
Dr. Jill,
we are digging it. We'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio. We're talking about Obamacare and stuff until 10 o'clock here at We the People Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
I called my doctor on the telephone. Help me, doctor, something's wrong. I can't shake it, it's gone too far. He said, tell me what your symptoms are.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that.
That's what it sounds like at your appointment when you go to sign up for Obamacare.
Totally.
Are those the sound effects the computer makes while you're waiting?
That was actually David Seville and the Chipmunks, 1958.
They were way ahead of their time. Oh, my God. Because all you hear about is people trying to sign up that can't get there. But sorry, you wanted to know about chiropractors and dentists and all that. Is that even in this thing?
Dentists, they're going to have dental and oral care is part of the essential benefits package, I believe, but it wasn't well outlined.
Yeah.
And in the dentists and optometrists that I spoke with early on, they said, well, you know, be careful what you ask for, because they know exactly what our costs are. For things that dentists and optometrists do, it's a pretty set repertoire of care, right? So they have a fairly limited repertoire of what they do and how they do it. So their costs are well known and well documented. The government knows what it is.
Yeah, there wasn't enough margin there.
Right, exactly. There's not much margin as it is, and the government is going to pay them pretty much exactly what their costs are. So they said, well, you know, how do I benefit from that? All it's going to do is increase the number of people I have to see. You know, a number of people knocking on my door, they're going to be knocking down the door. And all I'm going to do is break even for working harder and harder. I talked to my dentist week before last. She said, Jill, I feel like a dinosaur. There are hardly any of us out here who are in private practice in dentistry anymore. Everybody's selling out to, like, Comfort Dental or the big groups because they don't want to have to deal with this anymore. They don't want to have to deal with the paperwork, mm-hmm. the billing, the hassle, the delays in reimbursement, having to hire people, manage all of the government regulation, especially when it comes to hiring and firing people, what you can and can't do. You know, she said, it's just such a hassle. She says, I just don't even know why I do it anymore. I mean, that's really sad. She's like mid-50s, same as me. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be practicing for another 10 years. We should be really, and we are kind of at the top of our game. We've got tons of experience. We still have energy to keep on top of everything. I mean, this is really the pinnacle of our careers, and we're all ready to just throw in the towel and go, it is just not worth it anymore. I'm sorry, you know. I'm tired of being taken advantage of.
Sure. Will you keep...
And not only that, but them telling us how to treat our patients as well.
Exactly. So. You have less and less control over the art of your practice. Mm-hmm. Because then that's why they call it the practice of medicine, the practice of dentistry. Because it really is. It's an art form, and it's constantly changing. And every single patient is different, potentially.
Yes.
Wow.
We have Gerald from Palo Cedro with an observation on line one.
Gerald, observe for us, will you?
Good morning to everyone.
Great. Thank you, Gerald.
I have some paperwork here in front of me that was sent to me in regards to the executive orders that's been issued by this fellow in the White House. Some of our previous presidents, some of them signed no executive orders whatsoever. Some are like three, maybe five, and then the most that was issued prior to Obama was George W. Bush. He signed 62 of them in 8 years. In the first 3.5 years that Obama was in office, he signed 923.
Maria's eyes just fell out of her head.
Yeah, jaw dropped.
These executive orders cover everything from soup to nuts. They affect us personally. They affect our industrial well-being. You know, from our ports to you name it. And I'm sure a lot of them have to do with these waivers for various folks that he favors. And I'm truly to the point of just despair. I don't see any area that we conduct our lives that are going to be free from the effect of these folks. And this healthcare thing. I'm nearing 75 years old, and I'm scared about my wife and I. Her company that she has her insurance through is leaving California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great!
And I don't know what we're gonna. That's at the end of the year. So I just don't know which way to turn. We've got health issues like most older people, and this thing is so confusing that the ordinary person out there in hinterland, they don't know what to do with this thing. I mean, it's a total mystery, and everywhere you turn, you get
more good news.
Yeah, more good news. So I was just wondering what you guys thought about the overall picture. I know that healthcare is the big thing right now. But that's just one area that they've taken over.
And, can I comment on a couple of things there?
Jump in.
Okay, so one thing, because I just did, I have a radio show out here, and we went through executive orders not long ago. The numbers you have are not the same as what is listed on the National Archives. The numbers for executive orders, the largest number of executive orders issued by any president was FDR. He was in office for 12 years and issued almost 4,000 executive orders. That was one per day.
This has been down to zero here. So
one per day. Woodrow Wilson in 4 years was 1,800. His was over one per day because he was only in office like 4 years. Then then nothing for a long time. Lincoln had some. Grant had some for Reconstruction. And then it was a long time before any more started coming up, and then they started trickling in again. Before Woodrow Wilson and FDR. But then they started trickling in again. And actually, Obama is kind of on par with the other ones. The only problem is his executive orders have been so outrageous. Most executive orders are things like, you know, they are related to faithfully executing the laws as they are written. They have to, you know, issue executive orders to control certain agencies and see that the laws are carried out, so forth and so on. Obama's gone beyond that. He's in the FDR Woodrow Wilson realm of the caliber of executive orders. He issued an executive order that recommended HIV testing for every American from between the ages of 15 and 65. Did you all know about that?
No.
This is absolutely frightening. There is no reason on earth. No reason on earth. And you looked at the CDC website, that they say 30,000 new cases of HIV. It's plateaued. It's not increasing. It's actually decreased markedly from the 80s when we started seeing HIV and AIDS. Very few cases of AIDS, blah, blah, blah. We know who's getting this. It's a lifestyle thing, urban areas, IV drug users, homosexual males. You know, that the demographics have not changed for HIV. All of a sudden, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, backed up by President Obama, says everybody should get HIV tested. Why?
Wow.
Oh, Dr. nice.
Why?
Okay,
That's
hang
the
with
biggest
us.
Question is, we're whoa, getting... what are they going to do with this information?
Yeah, we're getting cut off at the knees here by the news.
Okay.
There's 5 minutes of happy talk. It'll be happier than our talk, but we'll have more fun.
Yes. See you on the flip side, Dr. Jones.
When we come back.
Yep.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Advantage is Medicare Part C. That's private insurance. Medicare, a separate kind of outpatient policy for private insurance, has better reimbursement, better coverages, and the premiums for Medicare Advantage are subsidized by the federal government, so that they're more affordable for the elderly. That's separate from Medicare Part A. Everybody that gets Social Security is automatically signed up for Medicare Part A. That's hospitalization. Part B is outpatient services. So Part C is Medicare Advantage, which is kind of a combination of Part A and Part B and just additional coverage. Now, in the PPACA law, Medicare Advantage subsidies by the federal government are going to be largely going away over the next 10 years. So that Medicare Advantage is already going away in some places, and I think as your caller is finding out, it's going away partly in California, that they're just getting out of the Medicare Advantage plan because they can't, the premium costs are going to be too high for the elderly to afford in order to keep them in business. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, yeah. And, okay. And so for all those, you know, somebody should pick the scab. How about the part where the president kept saying that if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and if you like your plan, you can keep your plan?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about lying.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, you're lying. And, you know.
And it's not an unintended consequence. It
not
isn't,
at all.
It
it's
isn't
a fully
like,
intended consequence.
Yeah.
Fully intended. I'm not sure there are any unintended consequences in this law, aside from what I think they underestimated how smart employers can be and how quickly they can operate to work around whatever rules are made by the government.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, all my staff goes through Express. I mean,
yeah.
That's just how I have to do it right now. So.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So
the temp agency.
We have Robert on the line who has, I don't know, a question or a comment or something.
Robert from Reading.
Hey, good morning, folks.
Hello.
Okay, well, hopefully I'll maybe stir things up a little bit. I'm probably a little bit more on the progressive side, and I'm actually a supporter of the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare. Really quickly, I'm going to start just with a quick indictment of our U.S. healthcare system and pre-Obamacare. We're kind of an enigma. In America, we have, you know, probably the best health providers in the world. We, hands down, of all modern countries, we have the worst health coverage system, and that's pre-Obamacare. I mean, there's no other country that, you know, up before we started talking about Obamacare that had 40 to 50 million people without coverage, another, you know, 30 million people with, you know, super high deductible plans with partial coverage. So we had, you know, thousands of people every year. They did a study that died directly due to lack of health coverage. No other country had that problem. So I agree that there are some problems that I don't like with the Affordable Care Act, but my question, I have a few, I'll just throw them out there real quick, one by one, is, you know, what is the solution when you have, you know, 40 to 50 million people without health coverage? I heard a thing about how this could change the doctor-patient relationship. There are tens of millions of people who don't have a doctor-patient relationship because they have no access to affordable health coverage.
What? And a whole lot more people will be losing their doctor-patient relationship because of this law. So let me take some of these things step by step. So now, when you talk about comparing the United States to other countries, are you referring to the WHO study?
I'm referring just to the fact that most other countries have, whether it's Canada that has kind of a single-payer system, Germany that has a private insurance system, or some places like England that have a more of a socialized medicine setup, all of their citizens, from cradle to grave, have full comprehensive health coverage.
And everything's relative. So, and the way that these things are ranked, because I've done a lot of research in this as well. I researched the WHO study and the commentary on that. Those comparisons, we're being compared to countries that have largely socialized, pretty much all of them have some combination of socialized medicine, in other words, government-controlled health care, and a private alternative.
Right, and so do we. We have Medicare, we have the VA,
they say
those
that,
are all
well,
socialized programs.
We're covering everybody so that they have health care, but it's health care on our terms. So if everybody has the same health care, even if it's mediocre health care, if everybody has the same, they always rank that as much more desirable than people having access to amazing health care. Or everybody, I can tell you that everybody in this country has access to better health care than the populations of almost every other country
Yes.
Oh, I totally disagree
with
that.
So when you could say, okay, well, everybody has the same health care, everybody has access, they don't have access to comprehensive health care. They don't have access to the same things that Americans have access to. I can tell you that. A patient walks in, and this happened to me. I work in a breast center. My job is finding breast cancer. We had a little gal come in, 27 years old, had just come across the border, Spanish-speaking only. She told us in Spanish through an interpreter that she had come across the border illegally the week before, fell down, felt a lump in her breast. If you believe that story, that's fine. Felt a lump in her breast, came to our breast center. She had breast cancer that had obviously spread to lymph nodes. Not only did she get mammography, breast ultrasound, multiple breast biopsies, breast MRI that some of our patients with insurance couldn't even get approval for, she got chemotherapy before her surgery, she got absolutely top-end private health care, private surgery, private hospital, chemotherapy, everything for free. Everything for free.
Okay. Was she a citizen of the United States?
Talk to me about people people that don't get health care. You know, I did all my training in Denver General, it's now Denver Health Hospitals, University Hospital, the VA Hospital, all government hospitals, some private care. And I can tell you that people get great, excellent care. They have access, people with absolutely no insurance who are never going to pay their bill get access to absolutely just about anything out there.
Yeah.
They are not refused that. So that is a myth. That is an absolute myth. I'll tell you the other thing, if you watch the YouTube video series, I go through this a lot. A lot of the reason our healthcare system is screwed up and expensive is because of the government. The government sets the prices for healthcare in this country. So they're setting the price through Medicare because third-party payers use Medicare reimbursement also. And because of their rules and regulations, the cost of providing care in this country is far higher than any cost of any other provider anywhere else in the world because of medical legal liability insurance, because there aren't controls on any of the medical legal liability, which is a whole other lecture, because of the cost of government regulation, the cost of all these ridiculous coding systems, the overhead. 40% of the overhead in most private doctor's offices is just paying people to comply with government regulations. That adds to the cost of care. That costs more to provide care to patients. It increases the cost of insurance. And by the way, the high deductible insurance policies, those are meant to be used with health savings accounts. Unfortunately, people don't use them properly. But that's the answer to everything, is have a high deductible insurance policy and save money pre-tax, tax-free, whatever.
Really?
Or tax deductible. have a savings account where you pay cash.
You negotiate a price with your provider,
and you pay cash for it, and then you're covered for catastrophic things.
Doc, I got to fix it.
Ding! We have to take a break. Everybody back to your corner. Go see your cutman.
Okay, I got a question. Can I hold on?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio. It's now gone to a cage match. We're no longer doing boxing. We got them locked in the ring. Don't miss this great finale. We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Get this straight. You put the lime in the coconut, you drag them both up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drag them both up.
This is a great show. Thank you so much for having me on today, Miss Erin Ryan.
I haven't read the whole healthcare bill. I was like, don't worry about it.
We have Dr. Jill.
Dr. Jill, she's read the whole healthcare bill. We're just going to let her roll.
No, but I want to read it now. I'm like, I don't want to speed read through it.
You want to do the whole thing?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm like inspired.
So let's see. We had Robert was asking questions. Dr. Jill mostly hit the high points on that. Robert, you had another question.
Yeah,
I think it's back to you.
If you want to read the healthcare bill, be warned. It's like watching grass grow when you get into the 2,000-page version. Quick points on what the doc had said. And I commend the hospitals that do occasional charity cases that get a kid with cancer and they decide to work on them. But for every one case like that, there are thousands that if you have chronic conditions, like you find a lump on your leg and you go in, it's hurting you, and you go to the ER because you don't have coverage, and they say, oh, yeah, you got cancer. Guess what? They don't operate on that. They tell you, well, do you have insurance? No. Okay, well, you're going to need $20,000 surgery and $1,000 worth of chemo. So either you cough up the cash for that or you go home and you get your affairs in order. That's been the death panel of our American healthcare system for so many years now. There was a story about Butte County that they had dozens of healthcare plans, and now they're down to four. Your gold, silver, bronze, and platinum, whatever. Quick story here: friend of mine, and I don't know if he's Tea Party, but he's definitely right of center. He has one of these garbage plans with $9,000 annual deductible and everything else like that. He had to actually use his. He's a contractor. He hurt his knee, found out he needed to have ACL surgery. Found out very quickly, and those who have these health coverage plans, you know what I'm talking about. The list is longer what they don't cover as opposed to what they actually cover. After paying his, $8,000-$9,000 deductible, yeah, they operate on his knee and everything else. But guess what? Physical therapy, which he needed for, not part of the plan. He had to fork over a couple of $1,000 on top of that. Prescription for pain meds, not on the plan. So when all is said and done, this guy who barely makes, $40,000-$50,000 a year, and after tax, maybe that's like $20,000 a year, he had to pay the equivalent of like 2 years worth of savings just to cover that thing. So my assertion to the doctor who says, oh yeah, these high deductible plans are the way to go, they're the number one reason why over a million Americans with these plans go bankrupt every year. Those in Canada, Australia, Germany, Japan, they all have Cadillac plans, no annual deductibles, low copays. When they get sick, they can go to the doctor. They don't have to fork over a year's worth of savings before one penny of insurance kicks in. So,
yeah, except Robert, we hear all the time about people who come here because they've been waiting 2 and 3 and 4 years
to get
that handled. Yeah. But you know what? I've got somebody in the chat room. Okay, so let's start addressing the issues. Okay, I've got somebody in the chat room who is who's telling us that their son had cancer at 10, and he was the dad didn't have the money, and he was treated here in California. California Children's Services took care of that. Yes. So he had a very aggressive cancer, so that was handled. So
for kids, we have those programs. What about for adults?
I don't know. So let's go back.
They get hung out to dry.
Dr. Jill, you want to hit some of these?
Right. Okay, so I can talk to the Japan issue very personally because
you're breaking up there.
Oh, sorry.
You must be.
Yeah, she's on a landline.
Not anymore.
Uh-oh.
The NSA is now driving your phone.
It wasn't me, I swear.
God, they're so helpful. Uh-oh.
All right, we'll get her back on.
Oh, we lost her.
Okay, can I just say one quick thing before she comes back, and then I'll kind of lay it out there as a question?
Sure.
Okay. Well, anyway, my friend, after he did all this, he was scratching his head. He's like, you know, I paid all this money for stuff, and he didn't like Obama, and he didn't like Obamacare when it first came out. I showed him the exchanges, and he was paying $600 a month for his crappy plan. And when he looked at the plans, he goes, wow, that bronze plan, he goes, yeah, that's a lower deductible. I only be paying, you know, 100-something a month. And he goes, for the money that I'm paying for this lousy plan under the healthcare exchange, I can get a gold plan, no deductible, $30 copay. I would have saved myself thousands of dollars. He goes, man, I wish this thing came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and let's hope he could actually get in to get his services when it all comes down.
Why would you doubt that he would?
Because we have tons of doctors that are leaving their practices.
And tons of people that are going to be slammed with this.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, we always... Where are we? Sorry, we're having phone fun over here.
Her phone died.
Oh, her phone died. Oh.
Or someone killed it. We're not sure.
That was the phone crying out for help.
Exactly. It just like, shut off. It's like, no notice.
Well, it gave you the funky signal just ahead of time. So, okay, your response on all that, because we've thrown out a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, there are several different things. One of the things, I actually met with, what was it, I can't remember his official title. It's like two lines long. Deputy Secretary for kind of healthcare services for the government of Japan. So kind of an underling to Kathleen Sebelius equivalent. And he was in the United States for 5 months studying our healthcare system because Japan's healthcare system is falling apart. The British healthcare system is falling apart. They're integrating more and more private insurance into their system. The Canadian system is falling apart. All of these things that everybody holds up as being wonderful are financially disasters. And like you said, people are waiting months and months. Even in our own government-run VA hospitals, people are waiting 16 months for back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The answer to people who don't have health insurance is, aside from the fact that, and I'll correct you, that, in the first place, we have county hospitals, those sorts of things. Those are specifically places where people without insurance are meant to go. Here we have Denver General University Hospital. Those are designated county hospitals, community health centers, those sorts of things. There are plenty of dollars from the state and federal governments that go to community health centers so people can get care. A lot of people, to be very honest, do not seek care, but they can get care. Now, they may be put on a waiting list, but that's the same thing that's happening in a lot of these other countries.
Doc, what do you think about that Harvard study that says 45,000 deaths annually are linked to lack of health coverage?
You know, I haven't looked at all the analysis of that, but there has been an analysis that discounts a whole lot of that. But you can't just throw out a number like that and have it be meaningful, because there's always a whole lot more to it than that. You throw out talking points. Oh, people in Canada love their health care. Well, have they tried to use it? You know, a lot of the people that love their health care in Canada or some of these socialized systems haven't had cancer, haven't needed hip replacement or knee replacement. So, you know, you can't just throw out the talking points. You have to have substance behind them and understand what it is that they're talking about. There's also another study that said that people who had Medicaid actually had poorer health care outcomes than people that did not have any insurance at all. So, I can counter every one of your claims with some other one, and it is meaningless unless you really understand how the system works and what the real basis behind it. You can publish a study that says just about anything you want it to say. They can come to almost any conclusion you want.
That's why we call them
like
statistics.
Eating cocoa beans causes cancer. Eating cocoa beans cures cancer. You know, stuff like that. So you know, let's stay away from the talking points and just talk about the real issues of how things are supposed to happen.
Well, guys, one thing we haven't even touched is the tax
exactly.
the tax puzzle on this thing,
yes.
the cost of this. Mm-hmm. Because when you get down to it, if the cost is so high that we can't make it happen, then at the end of the day, what do we have? So $1.1 trillion in taxes, including taxes on medical devices, drugs, insurance premiums, unearned income, $165 billion in taxes passed on to consumers and their premiums, 123 billion surtax on investment income. That takes effect January 2013. 86 billion increase in Medicare payroll tax January 2013. That's going to affect businesses. 65 billion individual mandate excise tax and employer mandate tax January of 2014. 60 billion tax on healthcare insurers January of 2014. Yep. I mean, this just goes on. I'm not even.
It's all on top of the exchange.
I'm a third of the way through.
Right, there are 22 new taxes.
Yeah, it goes way up.
Can I say something about the taxes?
Yeah, you know what? How about this? Let's do it after the break. But Robert's got the break queued up. We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a pen down of 30 for the mind. Selling little bottles of love potion number 9. Oh, help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged.
Okay, we got to know. Who was that?
Rolling Stones.
Oh, my gosh.
Very early Rolling Stones.
Yeah, where do you find these things? Oh, my gosh. Well, you're tuning into We the People Radio. We have Elizabeth Woodward, who's out on assignment, being replaced today by Dr. Maria Salas.
And, hello, everybody.
Of course, I'm Aaron, the snarky one. And then we have Bob the nice one. Who handles all of our music. So before we get back into this, I just want to thank Dr. Jill Vecchio for coming on with us this morning, because as we get closer to the top of the hour, that usually
forgotten.
It just turns into a big see ya, bye. WeThePeopleRadio.us has all of Dr. Jill's information, including the link to her her radio program. And if you are logged into that page, refresh it. Robert said he added a link. And you've got also some video on there. I do want to get to the part about the real reform ideas. And so, Robert, if you want to make a final point, do that. And then we're going to cut to the chase here so we can finish up and, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah, understood. Yeah, we can go on day and day. Here's the one irony I kind of leave you folks on this. You know, we all hear about Obamacare and it's a socialist, government takeover of medicine. Socialized medicine, I think this is where a lot of misconceptions are. Socialized medicine, pure socialized medicine is like the VA, where the doctors and the coverage plans are all run by the government. England has that system. Then there's a combination, half private, half socialized medicine. That's what Canada has, where the single-payer system for the doctors are mostly private. We have that here with Medicare for seniors and Medicaid. But the big thing here is the Obamacare, and this is what I want you folks to chew on a little bit, maybe after I hang up here. The premise for Obamacare, it's a Republican plan. It was developed by the Heritage Foundation in the 1980s when the more Democratic plan, all the Democrats from Ted Kennedy onwards wanted a Canada-type single-payer system. The Republican alternative to that and to Hillary Care in the early 90s was, no, we don't need more of a government type of coverage system. Well, let's just have a mandate for everyone to purchase private insurance. This was pushed by guys like Bob Dole. So when did guys like Bob Dole and Republicans in the 1980s and 90s all of a sudden become socialist?
Well, okay. So we've heard that a lot. However, if it was such a Republican plan, I find it interesting that in order to get it passed, it had zero Republican votes. But it doesn't really matter. Bottom line is, who cares who put it up? At the end of the day, what we're seeing is that people's quality of care is going to change. People are being forced to do something they don't want to do. That's the biggie. People are being forced to do something they don't want to do. Our young people don't want to spend a ton of money on health insurance because they don't now, and they don't want to be fined in order to have it. So there are some issues that go way beyond the politics of it, and we can bring those optics in if it's useful, but how about this? We'll just say that you're probably not going to be sold on the fact that this isn't a great idea, so we'll watch it play out.
I agree. And if it's as bad as some of the critics say it is, and I think a lot of those more on the left, including myself, might be like, hey, we gave this a shot for 2 years. It's worse than we thought. Let's repeal it.
Sure. Everybody, agreed. I mean, at the end of the day, the Republicans at this particular moment are holding out because they think everybody should have to follow the same rules. And the Republicans have tried multiple times in multiple ways to get just if you want to hang on to one piece of it, don't you think that congressional members and their staff should be bound by the same rules the American people are?
Yes.
No, and here's why.
Wow.
The healthcare exchanges.
Thought for sure we had a win there.
Yeah.
Okay, you almost, but here's why, real quickly.
Did I say damn it?
The healthcare exchanges were meant for those that are not on group plans. Now, as far as I know, I don't really care much about Congress, but they're staffers, they're low paid guys. They're on that federal health, I think called FEHB. They have a group plan already. So they, you know, they also get like 2/3 of premium coverage as a benefit for, you know, like if you work for a large company or an agency. They would lose all that. The healthcare exchanges are those for those individuals who have to pay 4 times the rate of a price of insurance because they're not part of a group plan.
Yeah, but what you're missing, Robert, is they made a backdoor deal to get a carve-out. Bottom line is, if this law was passed and it was so good, we should be operating under the law, and we're not.
But they're not exempted. They have to be part of the healthcare exchanges. The only carve-out thing was they get the same addition to their premiums like they do under the federal health care plan. So
which
they get
isn't what's happening for everybody else. And bottom line is, they should be subject to the same things as everybody else. And if they want to be different, there should be a law passed.
So you're saying all federal employees or all state employees should lose any kind of like 50% matching for their premiums?
No, what I'm saying is, if you want to make changes to a law, we have a mechanism to do that, and it's not an executive order.
The court upheld it. It's the law.
No, Robert, you're not following me. What I'm saying is, if you want to give Congress and their staff a break, then you pass another law to amend the one we already passed. And that's the part the Democrats are unwilling to do, which is why they're holding out. Because it's not right that they should be held differently than everybody else. So, okay, thank you so much for calling. We're glad you're listening. Looking forward to input in the future. We've got plus or minus talk time, maybe 13 minutes.
So, reform ideas.
Talk to us about reform ideas, because I have not watched this segment of your video, Dr. Joe.
Yeah, this is the last, because it's number 7 video. So, and I preface it, obviously, by going through how some of the things I've talked about. Government is responsible. They set prices. They've been fixing prices in health care for a long time. They're responsible for a lot of the cost of health care, certainly the cost of delivering care. And not everybody's going to be covered under this law. Premiums are increasing. Taxes, costs of goods are going to increase and all that. So the idea is, number one, it's a whole combination of things. You don't just take one out and say, woohoo, you know, that's not working. All these ideas for real reform aren't going to work. It has to be a combination of things, just like they put a whole combination of things in place for Obamacare.
Sure.
Number one, post prices. Everybody should post their prices in cash. We have this ridiculous system of a big black hole where you see some charge for, say, a dental procedure of $1,300, but the insurance company is only going to reimburse $400. The dentist is never going to get $1,300 for that procedure. Neither is a doctor going to get what they, quotations, charge. They're never going to get paid that. So why we even put those charges on there is absolutely beyond me, other than to irritate people. So let's post our prices in cash. Okay, this is, if you walked into my place and paid cash, here's what it would cost you. That way, if it's posted out in front of God and everybody, then we can have some competition. Then people can start to compete for business, just like any other place. We treat healthcare as if it's some ultimately special guarded thing when it doesn't need to be. It's only been created that way by the government since World War II.
Yeah, it's a service.
Sure.
Absolutely.
We've added mystery to it.
Compete. If people can figure out what kind of computer they want, which is more than I can do, you know, it's like if they can figure out a computer or a big screen television, let's face it, people spend more time picking out a big screen television than they do picking out their health insurance plan.
Exactly.
They know more about their big screen television than they do about their health insurance plan. If they can figure out fantasy football, they can figure out a health care plan.
That's true. That is like, what? They're doing what?
Yeah. So, and next thing, separate insurance from the workplace. Part of the big problem with pre-existing conditions, pre-existing conditions is largely a problem because people jump from workplace to workplace. Group insurance plans, as you know, don't have any pre-existing condition problem. You know, right, they can't penalize for pre-existing conditions in these group plans. So why is it only in the group plans that they can't penalize for pre-existing conditions? If Obamacare, if you think that pre-existing conditions is the reason that you like Obamacare, good grief, folks. You can have pre-existing conditions not be a problem without having Obamacare. So disconnected from the workplace in a perfect world, and certainly this can't happen overnight, it has to evolve, but the idea is, how about you get an insurance policy that's your very own from the minute you're born? You have your insurance policy, you may change carriers, and you may change some of the coverages you have, but you have your very own insurance policy, and that follows you through your life. So there is no such pre-existing condition because you are constantly insured throughout your life. If there's no, we could make a law that pass legislation that says if there's no more than a 3-month lapse in your coverage, in your premium, you know, in paying premiums and having coverage, if there's no more than 3-month lapse, then you can't change, you can't charge them for pre-existing conditions. So by having it tied to the workplace, we create a new issue. We also are, employers get a break for taxes because of the cost of providing insurance to their employees, but individuals don't get that same tax break. I propose have individuals get that same tax break that insurance companies do. In fact, I think that every medical expense you have should be tax deductible, whether it's a premium, a drug, a treatment, whatever. All that should be tax deductible, pre-tax, whatever.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I'm looking at this. I've got a little printout here. The minimum essential coverage. Mm-hmm. So you have ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health, substance abuse treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative services, laboratory services, preventative care, wellness services, chronic disease management, pediatric services, dental and vision care for children. So that's the minimum essential coverage. Okay, I would like to scribble off maternity and newborn care.
Right. Sure.
You know, I'm 52, had a hysterectomy when I was 21, so I've pretty much never needed
that.
Why would I pay for that?
Right.
Substance abuse treatment. Hey, you know, I'm an Irish Catholic, and I managed to, you know, figure out how to handle my drinking, so I'm probably not going to need that. Although, you know, if they keep passing these laws, I'm thinking
exactly.
About
that. Exactly. That's my thing. I'm going to hold that in the background until I find out what's going to happen with this
law. Yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't go through AA. I think I'm going to just hang for that one there. You know, rehabilitation, I don't know what kind of rehabilitation we're doing. Chronic disease management, so if you don't have chronic disease.
Well, and what the heck is wellness? What does that mean?
That's preventive care, like mammograms and flu shots and all that stuff.
Okay.
I was like, wellness,
really?
The key
is all of these, this whole laundry list of essential benefits is just redistribution again. It's the idea of spreading risk over a large pool of people. I get that. But how about if we let people choose what they want for coverage and what they don't want? I don't need child immunization. I don't need pediatric services. I don't need maternity.
Sure.
Let's just get rid of that. I don't want substance abuse treatment. Think how low your premiums could be if you picked and chose, and then you had a health savings account so I can say, I'm going to stash money over here. Now, the gentleman said, oh, well, isn't this terrible that this guy had to pay this much money? Let's back up and say, how much money did he save over how many years in premium costs by not paying, having a premium cost that covered every possible thing plus everything that his neighbor was having done? So by having a limited catastrophic coverage and having a cash account that you pay for services, and by the way, if you have a cash account, if you're paying cash, you can negotiate those prices. You should be able to get those prices down at least 30% to 70% from whatever the insurance companies and some of those things, whatever their initial charges are, you can get that at a fraction if you're paying cash.
We're not paying.
So you can go in and negotiate with these people these days.
Yeah.
Because
we're not paying out the billing
and
labor.
And these HSA accounts are so misunderstood, unfortunately, because they're just not, people just aren't learning. The people who know about them and know how to use them love them. That's what I have. In fact, that's what most insurance companies give, or I shouldn't say most. A lot of insurance companies, that's what they offer their employees, are health savings accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that says a lot.
Well, yeah, because ultimately your health is your responsibility.
You use the R word.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Responsibility. Nobody likes that. Everybody knows that's where the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's face it, Americans are good shoppers. We're good shoppers. We're good at figuring out how to get a good deal. I mean, you post prices, make things, you know, say clearly what this is, what this is, what this is. Let people choose exactly what coverage they want to pay for and what coverage they're going to take a chance and maybe have to pay cash for.
I think people are snapping. Somebody just logged into the chat room as Dr. Kevorkian. So just, you know, every now and then we have what I guess what I would call inappropriate laughing, you know, because the guest is talking about something serious and we're like, we're over here snickering. Well, it's because somebody has written something in the chat room that, you know, you can't get past. All of a sudden you get locked up a little bit.
Can we end on a good note? How do we do that? Silver lining?
We have 2 minutes to figure it out.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Jill, you have two minutes to think about it.
Yeah, you can't fix Obamacare. You can't fix this law.
Well, it's
you need
too
to get rid of the
big
whole thing. And, you know, to be honest, you need to replace the, and to answer that gentleman, this universal health care, Obamacare has been in the works for 100 years by the progressive movement. Unfortunately, there were some Republicans who embraced it, and the Heritage Foundation embraced a few aspects of it, like the health care exchanges and the individual mandate were the two things that were endorsed by the Heritage Foundation at one time in the 90s. That's gone now, okay? So, and some of those things can work fine under the right circumstances, but don't say this is a Republican bill. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a classic liberal talking point. They always want to throw that in. And it's a lie. It's silly. It's silly to say it.
Well, if it was a Republican
plan, so many Democrats that claim responsibility for this. You know, you can't. And Romney Care, he had a Democrat House and a Democrat Senate in Massachusetts that passed Romney Care, so he went along with that. So it wasn't a Republican thing.
But, well, and at the end of the day, if it was and it was going to help everybody, I think everybody would be on board. But all you hear about is the stuff that isn't right, and the people that are supposedly signing up for it. Somebody had in the chat room that they read on the Washington Post that no one had actually been able to sign up for it, but we'll come back.
The federal exchanges are a mess. I think the federal-run exchanges that were in states that didn't set up an exchange, those exchanges, you can't even get onto them, I guess. Colorado's is quirky. You have to make in Colorado exchange, you have to make an account. You have to set up an account before you can, and enter a bunch of data before you can get any information back. And it's like, I don't want to set up an account.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't want them to have any information on me.
That's how the VA benefits thing is. I was trying to help a veteran with that, and yeah, we signed up for all the stuff. I got him all in there, and then we still couldn't get any information. I was like, well, that was a kind of a bait and switch. Hey, we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. Take our last break. Thank our advertisers. We'll be back to the top of the hour with Dr. Jill Vecchio, Dr. Maria Salas, so me, not a doctor, and Bob, not a doctor. As soon as you can. It's a tie. Great way to wrap it up. Our guests have been demolished in the chat room. I have one person who just wrote, I need my inhaler and my teddy.
And your binky.
What a great wrap up to a Sunday morning show.
Kudos to Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, in the last couple minutes here, seriously, where do you think we're headed?
I think that at this point, it has taken on a life of its own. And I would like, in a way, I mean, I think what the Republicans have done with the defund, I think they've done it in a smart way with the whole government shutdown thing. I think they've actually done it in a really fairly brilliant fashion. The problem is you can't defund all that much of Obamacare because the appropriations were already approved, as you would see written throughout the law. It's already, and so many rules and regulations, so much of it is taking place, money is flying out of the federal government, in other words, out of our taxpayer dollars and out of the, and our national debt is flying sky high. Because of this, I think it's going to collapse hard and fairly fast. In a way, I think that in order to wake people up, unfortunately, they're going to need to see this face on and see how it truly is going to affect them. And I think it's happening pretty quickly that people are seeing the effects, either their employers or they are employees. And now with the state health care exchanges, they're seeing that this stuff, you know, the government is not the answer, hopefully. The question is, who is going to be able to come up and have a coherent alternative plan that can talk about it coherently and get the word out and have some kind of a marketing campaign that there is an alternative to government-run health care? Because I think that's
sure
the biggest problem right now, is that there are alternatives out there, but unfortunately the people that we have in office, with rare exceptions, aren't talking about it, haven't embraced it, don't believe in it.
Well, and the other guys won't have the discussion. I mean, just look at this this shutdown business.
Right.
I mean, they just won't have the discussion. Doesn't
right
matter what we're trying to do. And, you know, I talk to people all the time, like Robert, who say, you know, well, they just need to fund the government. It's like, really? Do you? I mean, I keep going back to that. Do you think Congress and their staff should get a special deal?
Yeah.
That was made in a back room.
No.
Because see, if you want to pass a bill, then they can own it. Then people can vote on it, and you can go to your representative and you can say I agree or disagree. But to just have a backroom deal for anybody is just nuts. Okay, so we've got about 30 seconds here.
Do you work for the government? Are you among one of the beneficiaries of the government health care plan?
Yeah.
That's the only way. It's somehow, the people that we've talked to that are employees of the federal government say, oh, no, why? They told me, they promised me that I would have this and this
well,
and this.
Well, not
it's
all like, of them. I know a yeah, whole
talk
office
talk
full
to
of people.
Some,
guess
yeah,
what? They lie.
The people in private industry, they don't have any kind of guarantee.
No,
why
they
do
don't.
You have that?
Exactly.
Dr. Jill, thank you so much for coming
thank
on
you
today.
Look forward
have
to talking
day
to you again. Have a great Sunday.
You
Maria,
too.
You're awesome.
I had fun. So much
Bob.
Fun.
Thank you, Drs. Jill and Maria. Thank you, Aaron. Elizabeth
That'd
is back next
just
week.
Regular Aaron without the medical degree
here,
and regular
Casey
Bob.
And Shasta Redding.